God and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
Depression, anxiety, panic attacks, guilt, self-esteem, and stress. Problems that affect individuals and families every day. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens is a licensed psychologist who has extensive counseling experience. Providing counseling from a Christian perspective, he specializes in helping people overcome these problems and build their self-esteem, reduce guilt, and improve marital relationships. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens, located in Port St. Lucie, is available at 772-398-4377.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
I love you, Lord, with all my heart.
We all know the story of Joseph, but when he was in the prison and he interpreted the dream for the butler and the baker, baker was beheaded and the butler was released, he said, "Listen," he begged with him, "please, you go before the Pharaoh, remember me. Talk to the Pharaoh for me because I'm down here unjustly. I've done no wrong to be here in the prison." But see, God wasn't dealing with him like that. So for 2 years, God just blocked the butler's mind until another dream. When Pharaoh dreamed, God said, "This is the frequency I have you on. This is how I'm going to deal with you." And there was where he came into his fullness. You understand? How has God led you? See, some of us need to go back to some old landmarks. We've moved stuff. We moved the goalposts. And we're trying to emulate something God never purposed for us. And we get, you know, we see all this mega stuff and that, you know, and for longer people just run after it like this was the model. You get on the interior there and you see this is like a zoo. Who's who in the zoo? Looks good from without, but in within is dead men's bones. So we have to be keen on how God has led us, because that's the, I call it the Daba word. That's the word of destiny over your life. It may be very unique. It's going to cause you trouble sometimes, because it's the Daba word of destiny that's over your life. And see, that Daba word of destiny has fulfillment in it. That's what Joseph had. Joseph had the dream, and as long as he had the dream, he held fast his integrity, which took him through every situation till it was fulfilled. That double word, it's a double word over all of our lives. It's just sometimes we listen to voices that get us off track, waste our time, we become careless. It's never a time to become careless, frivolous and foolish. And God, tell somebody, I have grace for this. It's not like God is calling us to do something he's not equipped us to do. We have the grace for it. Amen, we have the grace for it. We are his instruments. We are his weapons of war in this earth. And about time the church woke up from her slumber and the foolishness. And, you know, we put up with too much stuff a lot of times, especially with leadership or with, you know, we compromise stuff for the sake of numbers or for the sake of this or the sake of being accepted. You know, nobody likes to be alone or feel lonely. But there are times you're going to be alone. Come on, but tell somebody, I got grace for it. When you feeling alone or being alone or feeling lonely, you got to press deeper into God rather than compromise with somebody you know is not living right or you know is going to kill you if you've taken the battle with you. Apostle and I were talking, and I remember the first time coming back from Malaysia when we had really started to grab hold of destiny. We had a number of people in the church that I was always suspect about. You know, in the back of my mind, you know, you think, well, maybe I'm not being compassionate enough, but no, these folk had agendas. Right. You know what I mean? You know, you pastors know what I'm talking about. You know, you feel like, well, maybe I just need to be more compassionate or a little more patient. No, you need to get rid of them sometime. It's true. You need to just draw the line, cut the head off. God gave me a message, and it was in the message. The message was sons of the concubine, and the message compared true sons. And you know, it's like you know, in an old warehouse or something, you flick a light on and roaches. They were running for cover. but it initiated a cleansing. Before there was multiplication, there was subtraction. A lot of subtraction. But I understand it's not about the numbers now at all. It's about the purpose of God. It's about his kingdom. God don't need numbers. Numbers are okay, but God don't need numbers. He needs those that will obey him no matter what. Amen. I believe that's us. So the first prophetic dimension of conquest is that of the knowing the new kairos of God. You've got to identify the movement, the new kairos, when it's time to begin something different, when God has started something new, started something fresh. You'll sense in your spirit a quickening, a grace. There's a grace to go beyond where you are. Amen? And that don't mean that the enemy's going to run and hide or stop warring with you. He will continue to war with you. It's a new season. I know we've heard that song, we sing that song, but it is. I'm declaring that to you today. It's a new season. It's a season of much greater opportunity. Amen. Tell somebody, you can't be scared. Sometimes we get comfortable in things and we don't want to move on because it's going to require more of us. We say this all the time here. God rewards good work with more work. You have to take your own vacation, but God will reward you with more work. But with more work, there's more grace. See, when you're in your metron, it's easy. When you are moving in what God has ordained for you, it's not hard. Now, somebody else might be laboring and struggling in that, but for you, when you're moving in it, it's like, this is what I'm created for. You know, everything, you're moving on all cylinders. Everything is working right. You know, even your strength when you're moving in your metron. So we've come out of a wilderness experience. Tell somebody, I'm out of that experience. And we've come into a possession experience. I'm about to possess some stuff now. I'm about to take some stuff that is mine by inherited right. Amen. God told me it's mine. I'm about to possess it now. But it will come through conquest. It will come through war. It will come through violence. Do you understand? Being violent in the spirit. No more passivity. No more putting up with. No more compromising. But we are entering in to take back. Amen. What is rightfully ours. What is promised to us by God. So understand first that there's a new kairos. We'll eat of the corn of the land. We won't eat of the manna. Now there is yet manna. It's the hidden manna, but the hidden manna is for them that overcome. Speaking of manna, let me just inject this. Elijah, when he fought prophets of Baal and all, and finally he took off and he ran for his life. And the angel encountered him under the juniper tree asleep, and he tapped him and said, "Rise and eat." And he rose and ate, and he fell back to sleep. The angel again encountered him and touched him and said, "Rise and eat." Then he made a statement. He said, "For the journey is too great for you." I believe that from here on, the journey is too great for just what you can produce. You can't do it. Tell somebody, I can't do it. My dependence on God has become much greater now. There was some stuff I could get by with. You know, just doing myself. But now, the journey is too great. I need what's coming from heaven. I need what is not natural now. Hello? I don't know about you, but I need some miracles. I need some miraculous breakthroughs in my life for God to do. And I believe that he's brought me this far to prove himself. Amen. All right. So the manna, we need what's coming from heaven. It's not just our gifting nor our abilities anymore. Lord, I need your instruction. I need what you have for me. Yeah, I could do certain things, but I need to know that you are in this. See, the thing about Joseph was gifted, and wherever he was, whatever station he was in life, his gift operated. He prospered. But that wasn't how God led him. That was who he was. Remember, he prospered in Potiphar's house. He prospered in the prison. But that wasn't what, that prospered him wherever he was, whatever station he was in life. But it was the dream that promoted him, that got him to the place of fulfillment. So we should prosper wherever we go. We should be prosperous. Our gifts should operate. But it's not the gifts that's going to promote me. It's going to be God. It's going to be how God has led me. It's going to be the kairos. It's going to be God in my life, in his timing and at his appointment, that's going to prosper, or that's going to bring me into fulfillment. Okay? We all know that God moves in seasons, right? We'd all agree to that, right? God moves in seasons. There are times where God is moving, and we need to move with him. We need to recognize the kairos and move with him. Let's go to number two. Second dimension for conquest is we must have competent leadership. Competent leadership. And let me say it this way, for the future. I'll go as far as to say this. We need leaders today that have seen the future. And they can come back and present it to the generation. We need. I'll say it again. We need competent leaders. See. If you don't see the future, if you're blind, you're gonna be led by the blind. We need leaders that have seen the future and that can come back and then communicate that future to the generation. Good example: Joshua and Caleb. They went in the first time. They saw what the land was like. They helped carry the grapes. They brought the fruit back. They saw the giants. They saw the land that was flowing with the milk, the honey, and all. And they, I'm sure, encouraged that second generation from time to time to say, listen, we have seen the land. We know what it's like. We know God has given it to us. We know that one day we will possess it. But we need we don't need leaders floundering, not knowing what to do. That's what this whole conference. Issachar had understanding of times to know what Israel ought to do. As leaders, we have to come to the place where we know what our next step is. I may not know the next 10 steps. I know the next step. Yeah, I may not know what next year is going to be totally like, but I know what tomorrow is going to be. Competent leaders, not scared leaders. Not those that don't know and I don't know, you know, God is able. Yeah, we know that. But what do you know? What can you dissimulate? What can you tell the next generation? What can you communicate them to encourage them about the future? Here's a good example I like is Elijah and Elisha. When Elijah was given the mandate to go back and to anoint three, the first one that he went to was Elisha. Elisha was out there plowing, and Elisha came by and dropped his mantle on and just went on his way. And Elisha ran behind him and said, let me go back, say goodbye to my family. And I thought Elijah said, what do I have to do with you? But see, what happened there? The mantle, when it was dropped on him, Elisha had a foretaste. You understand? Let me say it this way. When the mantle was dropped upon him, he had a glimpse of his future. He could see. See, when people can see that future, there's a motivation right now to lay everything else aside. Let me go and say goodbye, bid my family farewell, because I have seen something here. So we have to have competent leaders, leaders that have seen something. Amen. That's the second dimension or prophetic dimension of conquest. You got to be able to see it. Joshua, see that I've given you Jericho. If you have not seen the future, you cannot lead the people into it. See, most leaders have only seen the past. But if you can see, you're never going to be led by those that are blind. Most leaders have only seen the past. We have to have prophetic eyes to see that which is ahead. Amen. Competent leadership for the future. We understand that conquest means working together as a team. And it never means a battle is won by one man. It never is. It's got to be a team. So a leader has to be able to see and be able to lead others into that he sees. Let me give you some points here. Number one, leaders must move the people into the purposes of God. And here's a challenge sometimes, and not just around their personality. We have to lead people into the purposes of God and not just around the flair of our personalities. What are the purposes of God? That takes something on the leader's part. It takes a measure of humility to be able to lead them into the purposes of God and not around their personality. Let me tell you something. Why? Here's a warning. Why? You know, if you lead people just around your personality, the more you keep them around just your personality, the more fault they're going to find with you. Well, you know what? There's familiarity set in. Now they're not listening to you. They're joking with you all the time. And, you know, they're not listening. By your personality. No, we need to rally them around the purposes of God. Personality has a place, but it can't have that first place. Otherwise, people get familiar, and familiarity breeds contempt. Before you know it, the brakes are on, and you wonder what's going on, why people aren't listening to you, your spirit's bound up, leaders aren't cooperating, why they're familiar with you. We continue in Seven Dimensions of Conquest. Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.